From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Audie Cornish. Today, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton announced a panel to investigate last week's deadly attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya. NPR's Leila Fadel is in Benghazi, and she reports on new details about the attack.
On September 9th, 2 days before the attack that stunned the United States and killed four Americans in Benghazi, three U.S. officials met with leaders of paragovernmental militias working to provide security in a post-revolution Benghazi. They included Mohammed al-Gharabi, leader of one of the more prominent pro-government militias. In that meeting, which included the American economic and political counselors, Gharabi says he warned them that the security situation in Benghazi was deteriorating. Assassinations are becoming rampant. No one is safe, including us, he said he told them. He asked for help to secure Benghazi and suggested scaling back or possibly closing diplomatic missions until things were more secure. He didn't cite any specific threat, but said already there'd been an attack in June on the fortified U.S. consulate, enclosed by a high wall, topped with concertina wire. They didn't heed the warning, he says, and now Americans are dead. So far, the U.S. has been tight-lipped about the security procedures that fatal day when a two-pronged attack on the consulate and later a safe house startled the diplomatic world. Clinton has formed a panel to investigate.
We are concerned about the internal security in these countries because ultimately, that puts at risk the men, women, and children of these societies on a daily, ongoing basis if actions are not taken to try to restore security and civil order.
This comes a day after Clinton said the mission in Benghazi was secured properly and they had no indication of an imminent threat.
Let me assure you that our security in Benghazi included a unit of host government security forces, as well as a local guard force of the kind that we rely on in many places around the world.
But Libyan witnesses are asking how Ambassador Chris Stevens was apparently left completely alone at the consulate when the attack by heavily armed men was over, fires raged, and people looted the compound. Fahed al-Bakosh captured video of Libyans pulling what apparently is Chris Stevens from a room at the consulate and put it on YouTube. Bakosh walked into the consulate after midnight. There were no Americans and no visible security as people looted the compound. He heard a young man scream, "Dead body!" Libyans then pulled the man out of a smoke-filled room. Bakosh says he was still breathing. They took him to the hospital. Later, Bakosh says Libyans discovered it was Stevens. The doctor who treated him said he died of asphyxiation and his heart had stopped by the time he reached the hospital. The most important person is the ambassador, and he was left alone, Bakosh says. Where were the bodyguards, he asks. How could they leave him? There wasn't even an ambulance. Hours after the consulate attack, Libyan authorities sent security forces to the airport to meet a U.S. team sent to bring out Americans. One of those Libyans, Fateh Abedi, described the group as some seven Marines in civilian clothes. Using GPS, they guided him to a secret safe house inside a walled compound. There, they found three villas, one of which was occupied by more than 20 Americans who had fled the consulate, says Arbedi. Within 15 minutes, that house came under fire by either RPGs or mortars, he said. The assailants, he said, appeared to have been laying in wait. They fired from a distance, and it was impossible to identify them. After the attack stopped, the U.S. team and the Libyans evacuated the Americans to the airport. They asked Libyan security forces to bring Stephen's body from the hospital. Arbedi says it took two planes to evacuate all the Americans. He shakes his head, shocked, he says, by the Americans' inability to secure themselves. Leila Fadel, NPR News, Benghazi.